press that.
Excellent.
Voila, technology in action. So, and this is what the Buddha says about what we're going to do today. So he talks about, he gives advice to monks, nuns, lay people. What do they do? What should they do when they want to do sitting meditation? So, when he or she has gone to the forest, he sits down on a seat made ready. Having sat down, she washes her feet. She doesn't concern herself with pedicure. So, you just wash the feet to be clean. After washing the feet, he or she sits himself or herself cross-legged, setting his body, her body, erect. So straight away there is this feeling of, you find a seat, then you have your body which is seated, you know, your back is straight, and you establish mindfulness in front of you. So there is a body first, a posture, and then you establish mindfulness. And then, it's interesting what he says. He or she does not occupy his mind with self-affliction, or affliction of others, or afflictions of both. She sits with her mind set on her own welfare, on others' welfare, and on the welfare of both. In fact, on the welfare of the whole world. So, we sit with the back straight. We sit and we try to cultivate mindfulness, but that's not all we do. We also actually try not to go in the direction of negativity. We try, when we sit in meditation, when we watch the breath, or are aware of the sensation of the body, or just listen to the sound, it's within the context that we try to take the mind in a positive direction. In the direction of having compassion for oneself, compassion for others, compassion for the whole world. So we need to see, often one sees the meditation as very, can we know, nearly egoistic. I'm just doing this for myself. But for the Buddha, it was very clear that it was not just for ourselves. We were actually doing this with the intention to benefiting ourselves, others, and the world. And so in a way, we not only try to be mindful, we also try to be careful. We're not trying to judge what we have in our mind, but we try to be aware, what is it that's going on in our mind? Do I have lots of thought about greed, hatred? Or do I have lots of thought about love and compassion? What is it that takes me away? How can I cultivate mindfulness within an environment of this intention for the welfare of myself, of others, of the world? Then the next one, this is a little tricky, but I thought we could ponder it throughout the day. All things have desire for their roots. Attention provides their being, contact their origin, feeling their meeting place, concentration, confrontation with them, mindfulness, control of them, understanding is the highest of them. So here, I think it shows us what happens normally. Normally, we see something, our attention is caught by something. For example, you're sitting in meditation, you're supposed to watch the breath or body or with the sound. And at one level, it's easy, very simple. The breath is there, the body is there, the sound is there. So, no problem. But then, we have a thought. A thought about the past, a thought about the future. So we have, our attention is taken somewhere. Something catches us. And then generally there is contact with that storyline or that hope or whatever it is. And then there is a feeling about it. That's nice. I don't like it. And then these create all kind of things in the mind. I want it, I don't want it. And we're actually quite far away from just being with the breath, with the whole moment, wishing well for everyone at that moment. We've gone into abstraction. So the Buddha is showing us that generally we get lost or we get caught very automatically. Off we go. Something catches us, and then we go. And then he says, what's the point of concentration? The point of concentration is that we start to develop more freedom. Of course, if I want to think that way, I can. But I also have the choice to decide, maybe I don't need to think about this now. I mean, if you look, a lot of the time what you think, what distracts you in meditation, you've already thought it many times. So possibly you could take a little break from it. And in a way, concentration gives us the opportunity to do that. We actually giving ourselves holidays. You know, we just come back to the breath, come back to the body, come back to the sun, and come back to this wider environment of our intention for the welfare of the world. Then mindfulness helps us to be with things in a different way. Instead of totally identifying, being caught totally in the story, we kind of start to see. Mindfulness enables us to, it's not going to change things, but it's going to make us feel differently, be differently with what has caught our attention. We're going to be able to start to look at it in a wiser way. And then we will be able to have understanding. So the Buddha is not saying things must disappear. We must not have desire. He's saying, look, you can be caught by all this, and you know it goes through the same patterns and the same automatism, so to speak, which often create pain for yourself and others. Or you can use concentration to bring you back to something which is more multiple, more complex, to what is really going on, inner condition, outer condition. You can be more mindful of the mechanism of the processes, and then understanding better, you can have a choice to act in this way or to act in that way, with always in the background the welfare of self, the welfare of others, the welfare of the world. Then another one, what is right mindfulness? That's what the Buddha is asking. What is right mindfulness? Here is a bhikkhu or a bhikkhuni, a monk or a nun, and they abide, contemplating the body as a body, hardened, fully aware and mindful, having put away greed and hatred toward the world. So again, he's saying, you are mindful. So he talks about being mindful of the body, mindful of the sensation of the body, but again with a wider environment, that you have let go of greed and hatred when you are mindful. So it's a certain type of harmless mindfulness. So again, it's a very specific type of mindfulness. Then he or she abides contemplating feeling as feeling, again, hardened, fully aware and mindful, having put away greed and hatred toward the world. So here there is a mindfulness of the feeling. The same, we become mindful of the feeling, but again within, this is a harmless mindfulness. It's not a judging mindfulness. Because sometimes when we cultivate awareness or mindfulness, sometimes we use it. If you have the tendency to judge, then you start to judge the judging of the judging. So actually, when the mindfulness should lead you in a way to have less greed and less hatred, actually you use the mindfulness to actually sometimes beat yourself up and others. I remember when I was living in community, often mindfulness was used as, you're not mindful. You did not close the door silently. I mean, you used it to beat people up with it. When the Buddha said, no. The mindfulness of the body, the mindfulness of the feeling is without greed and hatred. It's very much, again, a harmless, compassionate environment within the whole body and mind. He or she abides contemplating mental object as mental object. Again, ardent, fully aware and mindful, having put away greed and hatred toward the world. So in a way, here the Buddha shows us. We can watch the breath. Here he doesn't talk about that. You can watch sensation in the body. So there you focus on the sensation in the body, without analyzing them, just being aware of them. Or you can be mindful of your feeling. How do I feel? What is the feeling tone of my experience? But again, without grasping at it, without doing anything at it. It's not a scientific study. It's just being aware of them without greed and hatred, with this kind of harmless mindfulness. And then he said, and to me this is very essential in meditation, to be mindful of our thought. What is it we think? What is it which is in our mind? Not to judge it, but in a way to give us a little the choice. Do I want to continue to think this? Or could I rest in the mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the breath, mindfulness of the feeling, mindfulness of the listening? So I think in a way, the mindfulness, the concentration is giving us a choice to kind of try to come back to the posture, to the breathing, to the sensation, to the feeling. And so in a way, it's nearly like a refuge. Instead of having kind of, you know, thinking certain things about our body or our feeling, I should not have that feeling, I should not have that sensation, I should have this, I should have that. It's more just being with it, accepting what is, but not in resignation, but with stability and with openness. The next one, and here he's talking to somebody who was asking him a question. And so too, Sona, over-striving leads to agitation, and under-striving leads to slackness. Therefore, resolve upon evenness of energy. Acquire evenness of the spiritual faculty. And this is point out something which we have a little difficulty with when we sit in meditation. Often, either we try too hard. I must be mindful of the breath. I must be present. I must be present. The present, where is it? I want, you know. And you know, you nearly fix. It's kind of, you think the present is something and you must grab it. Yes, got it. Oh, it's gone. Ah, I must have it. And when instead, and so if we try too hard, either with the body, you can sit, yes, 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 or you can try too hard with the mind, or you can try too hard with the feeling, trying to produce certain feelings, certain thought, then it becomes tense. As he says, it leads to agitation. I think it's very important, when we try too hard, it leads to agitation. At the same time, if you try too little, oh yeah, poo, the breath, yeah, why not, yes, then there is no energy whatsoever. So in a way, it's very much the Buddha is talking of this evenness, this equilibrium, this balance. And we don't just sit like this. But if we feel a little tired, because sometimes when we sit in meditation, suddenly, ooh, then in a way, we have to bring more energy. So you have to straighten the back. I would suggest you look up and you ask, who is sitting here? Who is breathing? To wake you up. But if you feel too kind of too many thoughts too, then you have to calm down. And then I think it might be better to just go to the breath. Just be with the breath. Just be with the posture. So trying to play with these two elements where we, in a way, want to try too hard and then we try too little and try to find a middle way between kind of, and that the middle way will not always be the same. It depends on the condition. You might have arrived very lively, so you're really ready to sit, and yes, you might arrive and you're so tired, and you think, whoo, I could have stayed longer in bed, couldn't I, you know, and I'm here, I'm so tired. And then, in a way, trying to see what is it that could help me. I would say they're very much the posture, trying to really kind of open the back, open the shoulder, straighten the back, and really try to feel the body, and to really feel that when we sit like a mountain. You feel as grounded as a mountain, and at the same time, as open as an ocean. That's what we try to cultivate, this kind of a posture. And then the last one is just to show you, in a way, that the Buddha suggested many, many different methods in which to meditate. And so to see that there is not just one method which is a method to practice with. You can be mindful, as he said, of the body, of the feeling, of the thought. You can be mindful of the breath. But there is another practice which is often he encouraged very much, and some of you might have done this, and if you want to do this, please feel free to do so. And this is what he says. Practice loving kindness to get rid of ill will. Practice compassion to get rid of cruelty. Practice sympathy to get rid of apathy. Practice equanimity to get rid of resentment. Practice contemplation of impermanence to get rid of the conceit, I am. So again, it's very practical, very pragmatic. According to what is the difficulty, he says, if you feel that you have lots of hatred, you know, you kind of, you look at people and you, these people, and always do this. Oh. Then he said, practice loving kindness. May I be happy, may I be at peace, may I be well. May you be happy, at peace, may you be well. But if you feel if there is certain cruelty, then practice compassion. Practice being aware of suffering. May I be free of suffering. May I be free of discontent. May I be free of illness. May you be free of suffering. May you be free of illness. May you be free of discontent. But if you are, if there is apathy, who cares? What is the meaning of the world? Well, I don't care. Nobody cares. And you know, he said, practice sympathetic joy. And sympathetic joy is to rejoice in our good fortune and in the good fortune of others. And what is interesting with that practice is that it really helps us to start to appreciate more our life and to be less in what I would call negative comparison. And you can be from, they sit so much better than I will never be able to do this, to they have so much more money, they must be so much happier, whatever it is. But to see that, I think it's already wonderful that you are here, that you're able to meditate, you're able to walk. It's already wonderful to have that. So in a way, to just appreciate what we have already. May my good fortune continue. May my happiness continue. May my ease continue. May your good fortune continue. May your ease continue. May your happiness continue. And then he said, practice equanimity to dissolve resentment. This is interesting, this one, resentment. If you do meditation, if you're interested in meditation and Buddhism, then you know anger is generally a no-no. So you're not angry because you are a good Buddhist or good meditator, but then you become resentful. You know, I know, I experienced this a lot in community, Buddhist community. You know, in appearance, we were all very nice and happy, but underneath, the resentment, and then it would come up, bing! It's very interesting. Because you see, in a way, resentment is grasping. Grasping at this is not right and they got away with it. Really, we are such, of course it would be nice if everything was balanced and equilibrated and everything, you know, if everything was fair. This is our kind of goal, if everything was fair. But unfortunately, life is not necessarily fair. And then we become resentful because we're always equilibrating how much he did, you know, between wife and husband or partner. How much did he do? Huh? Then I'll do as much. But if he doesn't do much, forget it, you know. Resentment. We kind of look, when you're resenting, you're generally weighing, you know, the plus, the minus. And here the Buddha says equanimity, which says, May we accept things as they are. May we be balanced. May we be at peace. May we be at ease. And so it's not saying that we must resign ourselves, but I think we need to accept things as they are in order to be able to do something about them. If we straight away say no, and then kind of build this resentment. But you say, okay, what is going on? What can I do about this? What do I need to accept? What do I need to transform? And then the last one is practice contemplation of impermanence to get rid of the conceit, I am. And it's not the fact that we exist that he is questioning. It's more the fact that we fix ourselves. I am like this. I am like that. But if you look, and this is one thing that you can do in meditation, that you do the breath, the sensation, the sound, loving kindness, whatever you do, notice how changing the thought, the feeling, the sensation, the thought, the sounds. Things come and go. Things come and go. And if we really experience this coming and going, if we accompany it instead of fighting it, actually we start to have an experience of ourselves quite different. Instead of feeling very fixed and solid, we start to feel ourselves in a much more complex way, in a much more multiple way, as a flow of condition that then we can creatively engage in. So this is what I would suggest today. I know I mentioned many different things, but I think it's very important that when you come to this Sunday, it's not me being here telling you from high here, you must do this. But what I'd like you to do today, after listening to this, to in a way come back to whatever practice you find useful. There is no sacred practice. There is just a practice you can do, which you find useful and helpful in this moment, that will help you to be relatively stable and open. We're not going for an ideal meditator. We're going for the meditator which is calm with his or her conditions. And so to just do what you feel generally is useful, that it be to focus on the breath, that it be on the sensation, on the sound, or on loving kindness or equanimity. At the same time, noticing the changing nature of what you experience, and at the same time not forgetting the wider context of welfare for self, welfare for others, welfare for the world. And then at the end of the morning we will have a discussion, and then we can look at whatever interests you. So that's what I wanted to say today. Is it relatively clear for everybody? So what I would like us to do right now is to just stand up for just a minute to stretch the leg a little.